JSF 90.1 in Burnaby, British Columbia.
From the Netherlands, this is the Green Planet Monitor, voices and stories from a warm, wet planet. Today, International Court of Justice hearings on the legality of Israel's ceaseless occupation wrap up in The Hague. Listen to these voices.
Israeli leaders no longer feel the need to hide their intentions. They speak openly of getting rid of the Palestinian people one way or another. They defy the law, and the law is barely fighting back.
No state reserves to itself the right to systematically violate the rights of a people to self-determination, except Israel. No state commits annexation and apartheid with impunity, except, it seems, Israel.
The core consequence of the violation of the Jus Cogens right to self-determination and the prohibition of apartheid is immediate cessation. Israel must dismantle the physical, legal, and policy regime of discrimination and oppression, including freeing political prisoners. Evacuate Israeli settlers from Palestinian territories unconditionally and totally withdraw from the entire Palestinian territory.
This is the Green Planet Monitor. I'm David Kattenberg. Help us deliver this weekly package of Earth News. Subscribe at greenplanetmonitor.net. Israel and its allies moved heaven and earth to prevent it from happening. This past week in The Hague, it did. On Monday, February 19th, in response to a late December request from the UN General Assembly for its authoritative opinion, a request Israel, the US, and 15 other states opposed and voted against, the United Nations Supreme Judicial Body, the International Court of Justice, convened oral hearings on the legal status of Israel's 57-year belligerent occupation of the Palestinian territories and on the legal consequences arising from Israel's extraordinarily well-documented, though unadjudicated, crimes. In other words, what Israel must do to set things right and what the international community must do to ensure it does. ICJ hearings wrap up on the afternoon of Monday, February 26th. That's tomorrow as I speak. Here are a few voices from the proceedings, beginning with Palestine's ambassador to the United Nations, Riyad Mansour.
As we gather here in this great hall of justice, in the Peace Palace, we are reminded of these simple words: peace through justice, peace through law. The General Assembly brought the question of Palestine before the court because our people, the law, and peace are in jeopardy. The clarity of the law as it pertains to this question is only matched by the evidence of its continued breach by Israel. As we address you today, this breach has reached its most inhumane levels. More than 2 million Palestinians in Gaza are being pushed all the way to the border, to the very brink. Palestinian children, women, and men consumed by disease, despair, destruction, and death, which are spreading like wildfire. In the rest of occupied Palestine, settlers rampage and terrorize. No village, town, or city, no community, no sanctity spared. Israeli leaders no longer feel the need to hide their intentions. They speak openly of getting rid of the Palestinian people one way or another. They defy the law, and the law is barely fighting back. For Palestine, the law continues to be only a measure of the severity of breaches, rather than a catalyst for action and accountability. What does international law mean for Palestinian children in Gaza today? It has protected neither them nor their childhood. It has not protected their families or communities. It has not protected their lives or limbs, their hopes or homes. We are a proud and resilient people that has endured more than its share of agony. It is so painful to be Palestinian today. How could we be just subjected to such loss and injustice, such lawlessness and humiliation, time and time again? What does international law mean for a nation bestowed with inherent rights but enjoying none? It took 75 years for the UN to commemorate the Nakba, our violent dispossession, displacement from our land, and denial of our rights and existence. And we are seeing it happen all over again. Massacres, millions forcibly driven towards the unknown, tents, starvation, deprivation, and dehumanization, enabling one people to impose all of this on another. Palestinians under occupation in Israel as refugees and in the diaspora, all they ask for are their rights and to live in freedom and dignity in their ancestral land. For 75 years, the Palestinian people have faced attempts to push them out of geography and indeed out of history. And it goes on, and it will go on forever, unless and until international law is upheld, unless and until the unlawful occupation of Palestine ends. Mr. President, members of the court, our right to self-determination was recognized in the context of a mandate 100 years ago, yet simultaneously negated by the actions of the mandatory power. The question of Palestine was passed on to the United Nations at the time of its inception and has remained on its agenda ever since. In the aftermath of the Nakba, the United Nations admitted Israel to membership while emphasizing the need for it to respect Resolution 181 and 194 concerning the Palestinian state and the territory allotted to it, the international status of Jerusalem, and the right of return of Palestine refugees. Israel recognized these resolutions to secure its admission, only to renege on them as soon as it was admitted. Ever since Israel became convinced that the new realities imposed by the use of force would override the obligations arising from the rule of international law without any consequences. In 1967, the Security Council emphasized the inadmissibility of the acquisition of territory by war and called for the withdrawal of Israeli armed forces from territories occupied in the recent conflict. Instead, Israel started to colonize the land. The General Assembly in Resolution 3005 called upon Israel to desist the annexation of any part of the occupied territories and the establishment of Israeli settlements on those territories and the transfer of parts of an alien population into the occupied territories. Instead, Israel formalized its annexation of Jerusalem and other parts of the West Bank and poured hundreds of thousands of settlers into our territory. In 1974, 50 years ago, The General Assembly reaffirmed the inalienable rights of the Palestinian people in Palestine, including the right to self-determination without external interference, the right to national independence and sovereignty, as well as the inalienable right of the Palestinians to return to their homes and property from which they have been displaced and uprooted, and called for their return. Instead, Israel denied the existence of the Palestinian people. The United Nations has consistently reiterated these calls, yet Israel has consistently rejected them, entrenching its violations rather than ending them. So here we are. Though the law is absolutely clear, it is being trampled. Without accountability, there is no justice, and without justice, there can be no peace. Israel must be made to bear the consequences of its illegal conduct rather than reap the benefits. After 75 years, justice can no longer wait for the day Israel has an epiphany and suddenly decides to reverse course and commit to the law and UN resolutions. Our journey in the search for justice has brought us before you, before the International Court of Justice, following the General Assembly's decision to seek your guidance. We call on you to confirm that Israelis' presence in the occupied Palestinian territory is illegal. I repeat, it is illegal. That the presence of its occupation forces and settlers is illegal, and that its occupation must thus come to an immediate, complete, and unconditional end. I repeat, an immediate, complete, and unconditional end. This occupation has served as cover for Israelis' colonial designs, the acquisition of Palestinian territory by force. In 1980, the Security Council reaffirmed the overriding necessity to end the prolonged occupation of Arab territories occupied by Israel since 1967, including Jerusalem. If the occupation was deemed prolonged in 1980, how should it be characterized today, nearly 45 years later? I repeat, if the occupation was deemed prolonged in 1980, how should it be characterized today, nearly 45 years later? And if it was an overriding necessity to end it then, what exactly is it now, I ask you? Mr. President, members of the court, the United Nations admitted Israel in 1949. 75 years later, Palestine is yet to be admitted as full member of the United Nations. I sat in the General Assembly next to representatives of liberation movements, next to the ANC and SWAPO. We stood side by side with them as they achieved their independence and took their rightful places among the community of nations. They cannot accept that the Palestinian people are left behind any longer, indefinitely denied their innate rights. That is why many of those states will appear before this court in the coming days. Mr. President, members of the court, based on the UN record, you should have no difficulty arriving at the conclusion that the occupation is prolonged, that Palestinian territory has been annexed, that our self-determination has been denied, and that the people of Palestine have been subjected to systematic racial discrimination. The occupation itself cannot be distinguished from these breaches. They are not merely the result of the occupation, but are rather the foundation upon which the occupation rests. Rooted in the singular unlawful goal of maintaining permanent Israeli dominance over the occupied Palestinian territory and relegating the Palestinians it has not been able to displace to inferior status in their own land, in perpetuity, deprived of their inalienable rights. A finding from this distinguished court that the occupation is illegal and drawing the legal consequences from this determination would contribute to bringing it to an immediate end, paving the way to just and lasting peace. In closing, honorable judges, the State of Palestine appeals to this court to guide the international community in upholding international law, ending injustice, and achieving a just and lasting peace, to guide us towards a future in which Palestinian children are treated as children. Not as demographic threat, in which the identity of the group to which we belong does not diminish the human rights to which we are all entitled. A future in which no Palestinian and no Israelis is killed. A future in which two states live side by side in peace and security. The Palestinian only people only demand respect for their rights. They ask for nothing more. They cannot accept nothing less and nothing else. The future of freedom, justice, and peace can begin here and now. It is within your power to give the clearest statement possible on what the law is, what it requires, and what it means in practice for all members of the United Nations. We trust in your wisdom, your fairness, and your dedication to justice and the rule of law. And I thank you very much, Mr. President.
Riyad Mansour is Palestine's ambassador to the UN. Some of the world's tiniest states presented the most powerful arguments the International Court of Justice this past week. Little Belize topped the list. Here's Assad Shouman, special envoy of the Belizean Prime Minister on sovereignty issues. Shouman is followed by Philippa Webb, professor of international public law at King's College London.
President, members of the court, the Palestinian people have an inalienable right to self-determination and complete independence, which has always been systematically denied to them. The League of Nations mandate territories had a right to independence, which was realized for all of them except for Palestine. The UN Charter enshrined the right to self-determination for the protection of all peoples, except in practice for the Palestinians, more than half of whom were massacred or driven off their land in the 1948 Nakba. Their land was partitioned, and half of it allocated to a new state that promptly extended it to 78% by brute force. In 1967, just 7 years after Resolution 1514, Israel commenced its still continuing occupation of the entirety of the remaining Palestinian territory. Since then, Israel has, through systematic manipulation of negotiations, to undermine the presumed objectives ensured that the Palestinian people are prevented from ever exercising that right. Israel cannot be permitted to continue flouting one of the most fundamental principles of international law with impunity. Impunity breeds inhumanity. The right of the Palestinian people to self-determination is violated in many ways. I will focus on three. First, the exclusion of Palestinians from any part of the Palestinian territory denies their right to territorial integrity, which is an essential part of the right to self-determination. The Palestinian people have a right to self-determination within the entirety of their territory. Yet Israel has systematically removed and excluded Palestinians from parts of the territory. It has separated Gaza from the West Bank and prevented the free movement of Palestinians within the Palestinian territory. It has prohibited the return of Palestinians to their homes and property and established exclusionary illegal settlements in the West Bank, including East Jerusalem. This is especially egregious because many of these almost 700,000 state-supported settlers are continuously terrorizing and forcibly displacing Palestinians from even more of their territory and engaging in pogroms against them. Second, Israel denies the existence of Palestinians as a people. The Israeli Minister of Finance, himself an illegal settler, has stated that there is no such thing as a Palestinian people. Senior Israeli leaders routinely deny that the Palestinian people have a right to self-determination. Moreover, the case brought by South Africa, which Belize fully supports, lays bare the fact that Israel's genocidal campaign in Gaza also denies the right of Palestinians to exist at all. One key tactic in this regard is Israel's deliberate use of starvation to destroy the civilian population of Gaza. Gaza's entire population of more than 2 million people is in crisis, facing the worst levels of acute food insecurity. By December 2023, the famine threshold had already been exceeded, and the situation was deteriorating rapidly. This famine is not an accident. Indeed, senior Israeli officials have already clearly stated their intent to deprive civilians in Gaza of food and water. In its planned erasure of the Palestinian people, Israel is also destroying Palestinian cultural, educational, and historical institutions in Gaza. Almost 400 schools and every single university have been partially or fully destroyed, including one which was used as a base and an interrogation center by Israeli forces for months before they pillaged it and then detonated it. The intention is to erase all trace of Palestinian life and culture, to destroy the very essence of what makes the Palestinian a people. The message is clear. The total culture of Palestine must be destroyed, and they must have no future in Gaza. Third, Israel is using forcible action to deprive the Palestinian people of their right to self-determination, freedom, and complete independence. This includes the right of the Palestinian people freely to determine, without external interference, their political status and to pursue their economic, social, and cultural development. Israel's forcible action that denies the right to self-determination consists of institutional, coercive policies and practices that exert authority over and oppress the Palestinian people. These include the complete control exercise over Palestinian natural and economic resources. The institutionalized and racist apartheid and the systematic and excessive use of force, arbitrary killing and mass incarceration of Palestinians, including children. It also includes action taken by Israel to deny Palestinian political participation by criminalizing political speech and membership of or connection with Palestinian political parties, as the UN rightly says. By depriving Palestinians of their fundamental rights, Israel has taken away their agency and ability to unite, self-govern, and develop as a polity. The consequence of this breach is that Israel must immediately, unconditionally, and totally withdraw from all of the Palestinian territory. Israel is determined to ensure that the Palestinian people do not now and do not ever exercise their right to self-determination. Israel considers itself an exception. No state reserves to itself the right to systematically violate the rights of a people to self-determination, except Israel. No state seeks to justify the indefinite occupation of another's territory, except Israel. No state commits annexation and apartheid with impunity, except, it seems, Israel. But Israel must not be allowed such blatant impunity. It must not be allowed to continue to inflict scars for generations to come on those that survive this Holocaust. Israel must be made to behave like all civilized nations, stop violating international law and UN resolutions, respect the right of the Palestinian people to self-determination. Palestine must be free. I thank you and call on Professor Philippa Webb to continue Belize's submissions.
I thank His Excellency Mr. Asad Shuman. I now give the floor to Professor Philippa Webb. You have the floor, Professor.
Thank you. Mr. President, members of the court, apartheid is the strongest concentration of racist concepts put into action. It goes hand in hand with Israel's violation of the right to self-determination. It is impossible to realize a people's right to self-determination within an institutionalized regime of systematic racial oppression and discrimination. The dehumanizing nature of apartheid suppresses the equality, identity, and dignity at the heart of self-determination. The existence of apartheid is relevant to the first question before the court, which asks about the legal consequences arising from the ongoing violation by Israel of the right of the Palestinian people to self-determination and from its adoption of related discriminatory legislation and measures. Although the court can opine on discrimination falling short of apartheid, there are significant and different legal consequences resulting from the breach of the prohibition of apartheid that arises on the facts before the court. I will address the definition and scope of apartheid, apply the definitional elements to the facts, and set out the legal consequences. The Apartheid Convention's definition reflects custom and has the same content as the term apartheid in Article 3 of CERD. The prohibition of apartheid is not limited to Southern Africa or commissioned by a particular state. The prohibition also applies beyond a state's territory. Article 3 of CERD refers to territories under a state's jurisdiction, which includes situations of occupation. The CERD committee has determined that Article 3 applies to the Palestinian population in Israel and in the occupied Palestinian territory. First, it is indisputable that the Palestinians are a racial group for the purposes of CERD and custom. Under Israeli law, the separate identity of the Jewish race is afforded a privileged status, and the right to exercise self-determination in the state of Israel is exclusive to the Jewish people. Jewish Israel